Lots going on this planet these days, so we're going to have some open lines for you to chat about them. One of the questions I want you to consider, of course, is what do we do with North Korea? I mean, this whack job continues to threaten us with nukes, putting out videos of what it's like to blow up the United States and everything else. I want your opinion on that, along with anything else you want to check in with me for when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Back to Coast to Coast, and, you know, as I've always said, we just don't do pure politics like they do during the daytime. But I have to tell you, this campaign on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, the strangest, the most bizarre I have ever witnessed in my life. It is, I don't know how it's going to end up. I really don't. I think Hillary's going to get enough Democrats to beat Bernie Sanders. But Bernie's, what's he won, 7 primaries in a row now, something like that? And as far as the Republicans, what a mess that is. I'm going to predict that Ted Cruz teams up with Marco Rubio, makes Marco his vice presidential running mate, and they make that kind of an announcement to trip up Trump even more. That is strange. Anyways, let's go to the phones. We've got 2 hours of open lines. Make the call. Skype is open at George97313, and we do take your text questions. Tom will have that for you, too. So let us go to Gary in Ohio to get things started. Hi, Gary. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to talk to Stanley. I had a story for him, but...
Let's hear it.
No. It's about the county prosecutor in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
It was, wrongly accused by two conspiring witnesses. I think an attorney, go through all that, and I seen the other side of the system, and the prosecutor just let it go. And he knows my family, and he let it go with the investigation for almost 60 days. And I really got mad, and that's why they're not in office anymore.
Well,
I was part of the investigation and did the research for the information that was turned over to the FBI.
Wow.
And that's why Jimmy DeMora, county commissioner, treasurer, went down, and Mason decided not to run for attorney general.
You were a determined fella, my friend.
They got me mad, and that was in... In 08, there was an investigative team that was attached to him, and I think Mason did a lot of things that were wrong.
Well, what's amazing, though, is you got people to listen to you.
No, they didn't listen to me. I just did the research and turned it over to the FBI.
Well, yeah, but they took it, right? They took it.
They understood what it was, and that started the investigation for the county corruption case.
Interesting.
But I was looking at 25 to life with these witnesses that were accusing me.
Oh.
And I am totally on the other side of the stick ball or whatever, but by the grace of God, there go I.
How do you feel about the death penalty after going through what you went through?
All that, I totally understand that an innocent person should never be executed. But for, say, that person that was that shot that congresswoman in Arizona, or some of these, the theater shooting, or someone mm-hmm. that's still alive, that's when I believe in the death penalty.
Well, what if we said something like, you must have definitive DNA, you must have definitive video evidence.
Video can be altered, DNA can be used.
I know.
Unaccordingly. But say, you know, like that shooter that shot that congresswoman. You know, they knew him, they caught him. For somebody like that, I think a public hanging would be good. Back to public hanging, George.
Those are like the old days, Gary. Hey, thanks for the call. Alan is in Sacramento, California. Welcome to Coast, Alan.
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Good. Thank you.
Great. Basically, I have a story about me being wrongly accused in the state of Utah. And first and foremost, I want to say, if anybody out there listening, listen really close. If you are the reason because someone is innocently accused behind bars, do the right thing and speak up and get that person turned loose. I don't know whatever your agenda and motive was behind it. Don't let that person suffer one more day in prison knowingly they did not do anything wrong. And that's what happened with me.
Good point.
Fortunately, I got out.
How long were you in?
8.5 years.
Jeez.
In the Utah Department of Corrections. And I know there's a lot of people listening in prisons right now, because you are a link to hold people together in a cell, and it's really horrible conditions. You know, I've seen people get murdered, stabbed. I've had people come at me with knives, and there's a lot of corruption there. And you will not get a fair shake if you don't have money. And that's what it all comes down to. The system is revolved around return customers, in other words, you know?
When you got out after 8 years, did you feel bitter?
Did I feel bitter? I felt lost.
Yeah.
I felt really lost. And I went through a wave of emotions. It went from the being lost, feeling bitter, to feeling like, you know, questioning just the system in general, and realizing that it's a failed system, you know. And because, you know, the bitterness comes and it goes, but you always have that it's that mental chip in you. You will always have like post-traumatic stress disorder because of that. You know, it's a war zone in there, and it's really bad. You know, so I again stress, if anyone out there knows that they've wrongly accused someone and sent them to prison, please, please do the right thing and come forward.
You got to have the guts.
Yeah, if you know of any information that could free someone and you are being truthful, don't fabricate it.
No, I don't know how you can go to bed every night, Alan, if you know that you convicted someone and they're innocent.
Yeah, I don't know. I think about it every day. You know, hoping that someone will come forward and say, you know what, we got some information that, you know, has cleared your name. So it's been hard. It's been really hard.
All right. Well, you keep plugging, and good advice, by the way. So, like I said, we take your text questions as well. Tom is all the way back in Los Angeles with a text question.
All the way.
All the way back.
This one is from Max in Portland. Hey, George, what's your take on music sharing? Do you feel artists are getting ripped off? Or do you think it's just a function of technological progress and they need to accept it?
They need to work it out. And they have in many cases, Tom. They have worked out relationships with some of these groups and in digital venues that carry their music. But look, it's a sign of the times. I mean, look what Amazon has done to retail stores. Look at what the internet has done to newspapers. I mean, the world is changing. It's going digital. I don't think we should ever rely 100% on digital anything, because if that ever goes down, everybody's up a creek. So we still need to have all these essentials that we still do. In my home in St. Louis, I still have a landline phone. I don't know if you have that in your home in L.A.
But, not too many people do still.
But, you know, most people now just use their cell phones.
But let me ask you something real quick. If you were, say, a guitarist and you wrote this great song and you put it out there and you're selling it and you're selling your records, and I go online and I see your song and I go, this is a great song. You know what? I want to tell Dan Galante about this. So I email it to Dan. Did I do something wrong? Am I taking money from your pocket?
How did you get the song in the first place? Did you buy it?
I bought it and I transferred it onto my computer.
Well, that's the danger of doing that. You know, and it's unfortunate, but that's the technology. That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's difficult to catch a person like that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have that kind of effort or time to do that.
Now, on the other hand, Dan might go out and buy the record and then tell two friends who buy records.
That could be too.
So. It's a double-edged card.
Do you use CDs anymore?
In my car, I do.
Now, speaking of stuff, what's the latest with the technology you're using for emerging artists? And emerging artists, of course, for people who don't know, the first Sunday of every month, we debut a number of music cuts, seven of them, of artists who haven't had an opportunity to let big audiences hear their music, so we do that. But for years, Tom, we've been doing this. We've been getting CDs aren't you starting to slowly switch into the digital world?
Yeah, you know, and I know you've seen this because your office is not next to mine. I'm running out of room. Seriously, there's so much music out there and so many people out there. So we are contemplating, and I think we're going to do this in maybe a month or so, if even that. Just go to digital submissions, and it'll just make things easier, and there won't be so much, like, CDs lying
around. You're going to set up a separate place for people to send it to and
yes.
things like that?
Yeah, we'll tell everybody what to do, instructions, we really see.
Let's give out your personal email.
Let's not.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
David in Syracuse. Welcome to the show, David.
Evening, George.
Hi.
Well, as far as the putting people to death, I don't have a problem with it. I agree with what you were saying as far as, you know, a little bit higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe there's some things that should be added. Certain DWI cases where you have been arrested multiple times for DWI and still decide to get drunk and take out an entire family driving down the road. I mean, there is no place in society for those people.
No, I would not kill them, though, but I'd put them away forever.
And as far as those that you are going to put to death, you know, this whole lethal injection thing, I'm sorry, I reserve that for my dog, who is a loyal friend, never caused any problems, and deserves to be treated humanely.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that raped some little girl, strangled her, buried her under his trailer, and then aids in the search looking for it. Now, you take him out in public square and light him up like Times Square.
Well, no,
you start doing that, and the next guy starts thinking twice about it because the whole, oh, you're just going to take a little nap thing? Yes, that doesn't deter anybody. But when you start seeing it like you used to see the public hangings, it gives pause.
I think that some of these despicable people need to be put down, and it needs to be done quickly too. Some of these death row cases go on and on and on. It's crazy. Let's go to the Bronx. We've got Joe now on Coast to Coast.
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, Joe.
Yeah, you know, that was a good show you had on last night with Jeff Finn. I enjoy those type of shows that deal with the music industry, you know, and Jim Morrison and all that stuff. I met John Densmore about 10 years ago, and he would be a pretty interesting guest for you guys to have on. He, you know, obviously he's the drummer for the Doors. I just think that would be kind of telling maybe a little bit more about what Jim Morrison was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did not want to go on tour, Densmore, because he thought Morrison had just lost it. He was drunk all the time, drugged out all the time. But Krieger and Manzarek talked him out of it and said, nah, we got to keep touring. We got to keep doing this thing.
Right. Maybe you can get Densmore to play his drums.
Bring him into the studio.
Sure.
I don't know where he is now.
He's in last I heard he was in California. I'm not certain as to where he might be.
Well, we know Robbie Krieger, you know, one of the last survivors, and so I'm sure he can find him if they get along. I assume they do.
Well, it'd be a great show if you can get him.
Would have been great had I had him when Manzarek was with us.
Oh, wouldn't it? Yes, absolutely. The three surviving members.
You got it. You got it, Joe. What else is going on in your life? Everything
good?
Thank you. Okay, my friend. We debuted Joe on Emerging Artists. He's quite a musician. Let's go to Nathan in Ohio. Welcome to the program. Nathan, you're on the air.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up, I don't know if you were aware, but currently they are erecting, do you remember a year back that ISIS destroyed the Temple of Baal?
Yes.
They are erecting two arches of Baal. They're reproductions of the arch of the temple. One in New York in Times Square, and the other one is going up in Trafalgar Square in London.
Well, is that a good thing or a bad thing, in your opinion?
Oh, I think that's a bad thing.
could be a target.
Well, beyond being a target, it's just, I mean, Baal was like...
Like the devil, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's where people were sacrificing children to Baal. And
how big is the replica going to be?
48 feet? Yeah, 48 feet.
Jeez. That's almost like a mini building. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. Annie's in Alabama. Hello, Annie. You're on the air with us.
Thank you. I finished what I was saying about the bottles and jars, but I was in the middle of the high fructose corn syrup when the show was over. People don't know that this is a deadly poison, and they're putting it in more and more foods. And what I was saying when the show was over is that there's a popular drink that I love called Twist Mist, and it's been changed twice. It used to be all natural Sierra Mist, and it had a natural sugar in it. Natural sugar should cost less than any sugar because it's not processed. You don't have to pay people by the hour to process it, nor by the materials or the machine to process it with. So it should be dirt cheap.
And it's much better than the processed sugar.
Yeah, but they're charging three times as much for it, and it's just profiteering.
Of course.
That needs to be stopped.
All about money.
Sierra Mist, people need to hurt Pepsi in the pocketbook, because if it hurts in the pocketbook, that's the only time anybody ever listens. To measure money back, tell them you want this high fructose corn syrup out of the Twist Mist, and you want the old Sierra Mist back, and you want it all natural.
Have you tried that, Annie? And what did they do?
I certainly did. I called, and I wanted to hurt them in the pocketbook to make them listen, because that's the only way they'll listen. I used to think it was a body count.
Did they listen to you?
They listen when you ask for money back. That's the only thing you can. That's the only thing you can use against a criminal and make them turn around is when it hurts them in the pocketbook. And these are criminals.
Do you eat MSG too? I bet you don't.
No, I do not. It's an excitotoxin that destroys brain cells. Causes your brain cells to explode.
Gives me palpitations. I can always tell when I've stumbled into that.
I used to eat it. I used to love it. But you should not eat MSG because it'll destroy your brain.
Yeah, it's not good stuff. We're going to come back in a moment with more open line calls. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, of course. And you can email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And again, for the many of you who have signed up to become Coast Insiders, thank you. You can do that at coasttocoastam.com too. That's 15 cents a day, by the way. It's very simple. But when we come back, we're going to go back to your calls. We're going to go to Joseph in Fairfield, California, Logan's in Los Angeles, Trey's in Denver, and the rest of the calls. More open lines when we come right back. Okay, welcome back. Open lines. I've been doing this now for at least a month where we do open lines either on a Tuesday or Wednesday during the week. And then, of course, we always have our fun Friday open lines, too. But lots of folks have been sending me emails, and they just love this. So we're going to continue it. Joseph in Fairfield, California is now up with us. Hey, Joseph, go ahead. Welcome to the program. And you're on the air with us.
First time caller.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the case the other guy was talking about, the guy who was shot in the Walmart.
A Target store, I think. Was it a Target store or Walmart?
Well, it was actually a Walmart. The guy's name was John Crawford, and he was 22 years old.
Well, that's another case. Okay, there's a 13-year-old boy case, too.
I think, was that the Tamir Rice case? Was that the one?
I think you're right. That was in California.
Okay, so, but there's so many things wrong with this John Crawford case. The guy was in a Walmart shopping, and the gun he was holding was actually a product off the shelf in the Walmart. He was on his cell phone, and he said that they were giving him multiple warnings to put the gun down and get on the ground, but later on, the surveillance video actually shows that it was less than like a second before they shot him. Yeah, it's really sad. Another issue is that Ohio is an open carry state.
And explain that to folks who don't know what that is.
Well, which means it's legal to carry a firearm without concealing it.
Right on the side of your hip, you can just see it right there, right?
Yeah, or a slung rifle, which isn't really recommended. It kind of alarms people a bit, but it is definitely legal.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the police, you know, they chose when to confront the young man, and I think that, you know, with all their training and stuff, that maybe they could have, been a little bit more tactical in their approach. It's really sad. If you want to, I suggest you look at the video. It's widely available on YouTube.
Why didn't he put the gun down? Are you saying he just didn't have the time to?
He didn't. He was on his cell phone, and he was basically in the aisle, and the cop basically comes around the corner, and a second later, he shoots him. And you can see that he's on his cell phone, and he's just looking along the shelves and talking. And you see he's startled, and he literally flinches, and he's got two shots in him. And that was it. And actually, the real sad part about that case was that another lady who was in the store actually died from a heart attack from all the commotion.
Oh, my God. She saw that and just went, oh.
Yeah. There is another key to that case. It was a caller who actually called in and reported him. And they're looking to indict the guy now because supposedly he was saying that the guy was pointing it at people in the store. And on and on.
Oh, jeez.
He's changing his story, and it's obviously not true from the footage. So the
police were all, you know, they assume they've got a live gunman in there.
Right, right. But you know, once you're in the store, you see that things are going normally. You don't hear any shots, and you know, what you come around the corner and you see the guy. He's got the gun, you know, by the butt.
Yep.
He's not holding it in a defensive position, and he's on his cell phone, just, you know, lackadaisically walking around. I mean, I think training should have kicked in, you know. We give them tactical weapons, you know, protection, you know, vests, and on and on. And I'm not saying it's 100% their fault, but I believe that most parties involved, that they probably could have acted a little bit.
Sad for everybody.
Exactly.
Indeed. John, thanks. Joseph, thank you. Let's go to John now, truck driving in Missouri. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
I got the coffee ready because I'm heading toward St. Louis there.
There you go.
yes, sir. The Kim Jong, North Korea, he was talking about. I've been from Vietnam, and then I spent 6 years in Iraq working for DOS and the DOD.
Mm-hmm. I'm losing you on the phone, John. Can you get closer to your speaker?
Yes, sir. Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Yes, sir. Like I say, I've been in Vietnam and 6 years over in Iraq, and I know the dictators. You know, the only thing they understand is stand toe-to-toe. We've got to have a government that actually...
Yeah, we're going to need it. You are breaking up, John. But look, here's my take on North Korea. I'm not a warmonger by any means. We made a mistake in Iraq. Afghanistan, we've stayed way too long. But in this particular case with North Korea, assuming you believe the rhetoric, and I think it's true, you can't have somebody building nukes, building missiles, and then say, we're going to destroy you. Look what we can do to New York. We can take out D.C. And then they do videos of it. No, that's crazy. I mean, we're not doing that. Russia's not doing that. China's not doing that. Something's going to be done. I'm predicting something's going to happen in North Korea. You cannot let that idiot continue to do what he's doing, building up his missile defense, putting smaller nukes on the top of these missiles, and building up the capability where these missiles can hit the continental United States or create that EMP attack in the atmosphere that I've been warning about that will knock out the grid system. Got to be very careful. Steve, truck driving in West Virginia. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the program.
Oh, Mr. Norrie, I am so thankful to have gotten through and to be talking to you tonight, sir. I am such a huge fan.
Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I wanted to touch back. A couple callers ago had mentioned the Arches of L being put up in New York and London.
Yes.
I think there's a lot more information that you know, he could have portrayed, but you know, I definitely think it's something you should definitely look into.
I'm going to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to, for sure.
Yeah, it's the date that they're going up is April 19th, you know, which is of course also the same day that we're going to have all the Republicans and Democrats in New York for their caucuses that day.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of a coincidence, you know, some might say there. you know, also pushing forward, that's also Beltane or the end of Pentecost for you know, Catholics. Also an interesting day to have two arches up, but they'll be put up in you know, two major cities in the area. It's there's a whole lot going on, and I think there's a lot in the background to it too. There have been a couple of things that I've read on it that really make me kind of worrisome about this one. I try not to lean towards that a lot, but this one's definitely kind of making me think more than the others have in the past, for sure.
Isn't this statue though representative? Doesn't it represent some kind of strange evil?
Well, it's basically it's the arches to the Temple of El, which is basically the doorway. They're building two doorways in these two cities. Also, in the same parks that these cities are in, they're also what they call Needles of Cleopatra, the actual spires from Egypt that were brought over and put up in each of these cities. They're going to be in the same park, which, you know, you have a whole phallic and feminine symbol going on there, mm-hmm. which, you know, could be to something else. There are so many things behind this that you know, you could take a whole satanic thing with it or new,
right.
new world. You know, there's so many ways that
who's paying for this?
I might get the nomenclature wrong, but it's the National Institute for Architecture. This is going to be a big unveiling for the first 3D printed basically art, you know, structure of this kind being put up, and then, you know, it's supposed to be a big, you know, to do for this. And there's actually a plan for, if I remember right, there's thousands of these being planned to put up in major cities all over the world.
All right. I'm going to check more into that for sure. Tom, you've got another text for us. Go ahead.
Oh, we sure do, from Carla in Connecticut. I like tonight's guest, and I had a question. Do you think crime would go down if this country would enact excessively harsh punishments, ones that would really make the criminal really think twice before committing?
I do not think that. Look, I'm a proponent of the death penalty so far. I'm a proponent of the Second Amendment, the right to carry arms. I do not think harsher sentences would lower crime. I just don't think that's a deterrent.
Do you think
I don't think a criminal actually thinks of the ramifications?
That was my question to you. Yeah,
they do it.
If they're going to go rob a bank, they're going to rob a bank
and
not think
what?
About it.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, by the way, Cornelius texted and he said to say hello to you because you know he had a whole thing with the inmates and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, he did. How's he doing?
He's doing well. He said, "Say hi."
All right, Trey is in Denver now. Welcome to the show, Trey. You're on the air with us.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm a criminal defense attorney here in Denver, and I listened to Mr. Cohen, and there was some very intelligent conversation, and I appreciate that. And I agree with Mr. Cohen about some overzealous prosecution, but I'd also have to say that criminal defense attorneys, everyone that I know, they work their heart out to defend the client.
Yes, it's your oath and job.
It is, and no matter the circumstances, that's what you do, and you fight it to the end, and that's the way it is.
And let me ask you this, Trey, too. As a defense attorney, I don't know if you know Scott Rosenblum out here in St. Louis. He's a friend of mine, and he's a big criminal defense attorney out this way. But have you ever had a case where you were convinced the person was guilty? But, of course, you've got to do your job as an attorney. You've got to defend that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a tough thing to reckon with. but it's not so tough when people have rights and you have to defend those rights, whether it be the Fourth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, or the Eighth Amendment. You take that serious.
If you have someone who you know has killed someone, and you win because you're a darn good attorney, I guess you have mixed feelings about that victory, don't you?
I know that you would, and I can't say that I've had a murder case.
Okay.
But I have had serious cases, crime of violence cases, where there's mandatory sentencing. And even if he did it, I don't know that he did it. If they say he didn't do it, he didn't do it. It's a tough business, I guess I would say.
I guess when a client is with you, do they tell you the truth? I mean, do you get clients who say, yes, Trey, I did it?
I think sometimes that happens, yeah.
Sometimes they do. But most people don't say that, do they?
Most people don't say that, George, no.
No, not at all.
They don't say that.
What do you think of the death penalty now?
Absolutely, and I am for the death penalty. And I say that, and some of my colleagues disagree with me, but some of them agree, and the people that agree are in the minority. But what I have to say is there's about 20,000 murders a year, and it's my understanding, I mean, there's under 100 people put to death each year.
Yeah, no, you're right.
When you're looking at that proportion, and I don't think Mr. Cohen talked about that, and I try to call at least 50 times trying to get in. I really wanted to speak to him. But, I mean, when you have 320 million people living in America, there's 20 million murders. There's 20 million, or not, 20,000.
20,000, yeah.
And there's about 20,000 people killed in DUI accidents. It's like, you know, maybe the focus should be somewhere else where we have under 100 that are being put to death every year.
100,000 plus people killed being overprescribed the pharmaceutical drugs.
Absolutely. And there is no death penalty for a corporation. And you have to wonder what's up with that.
I guess it is mixed feelings if somebody innocent truly gets executed, and then we find out later the person was innocent.
That's tough. And if the person...
And you're saying tough in a serious sense.
Yeah, it's tough in a serious sense, tough in an emotional sense. If someone is wrongfully convicted of a crime, They should be compensated for that if they get to get out. I mean, if they're put to death, well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, the show's over. But, I mean, like here in Colorado, I mean, we have the case of James Holmes. He's running in that theater, and what people are saying, he has a mental disability or what have you. He did some serious damage, and at the end of the day, he gets to live his life and eat pizza and go to the rec yard. And you have to wonder, you know, is that really fair to everybody else?
But you know, some convict is going to take him out.
I mean, he's been hit a couple times in prison. He's been transferred. But
he just got beaten up a few weeks ago, I think.
He did. And he's been moved around, and I've told the state of Colorado, the DA's office in Arapahoe County, do not know where he is. And they're a little upset about it.
Remember Jeffrey Dahmer? He got killed in prison.
Yes, he did. As soon as he decided that he wanted to go hang out in the general population, I think he made it 6 months.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Trey.
George,
be well.
Have a great show. Thank you. Take care.
You too. You know, you're in Denver. Come out to Boulder once in a while. Meet up with us when we tape a Beyond Belief show. Just call Tom back one day, and he'll hook us all up. John, truck driving in Ohio. Welcome to the show. John, go ahead.
Hey, good morning to you.
Morning to you, too.
Hey, a couple weeks ago, you had a gentleman on here. I got to make this quick before I get out of range.
All right.
Now, he was talking about time or traveling at the speed, quarter of the speed of light?
Yes.
Wouldn't that, if in your opinion, wouldn't that make you slow down your aging process?
It sure would. Yep.
Hey, another question real quick, if I may. Whatever happened to that bullet that killed Kennedy? Did they ever find that?
I don't think they did. They also don't know where his brain is. That's gone.
Wow, that's crazy.
Somebody took that,
alive,
too.
Then.
It's really bizarre. Hey, thanks. Drive carefully. Let's go to Logan in L.A., first-time caller. Hi, Logan. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's It's a thrill to be on the air with you.
I'm glad you got through.
Me too. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Great.
So, yeah, I have a interesting. I'm going to change the. I loved all the callers so far tonight. I'm going to change the topic a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Paranormal topic. So I'm born and raised in L.A., and I grew up in a old house in the Los Feliz, Hollywood Hills area.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and the house actually itself was built by the designer of the L.A. Coliseum. He built the house so he could live in L.A. while it was being built, built in the 20s. So lots of paranormal activity in this house for the whole time I lived there, 18 years. I had three different housekeepers quit because they all saw a man watching them while they were cleaning the kitchen. and they had nothing to do with each other. They didn't know each other. Two of them were from different agencies, and they told us like we're not working here anymore.
Wow.
And I had just countless times of just footsteps, large, loud.
Have you seen that individual yourself?
Well, I have in all the years I've stayed in the house, I have seen an apparition once, and this is why I wanted to call in, because when I was 7 years old, I was home alone on a weekend. My mom went to the store. I was in her room because I was looking for, she had these old toys from when she was a child, and I was looking for these toys, and this was broad daylight, I have analyzed this as much as possible. It was broad daylight. There was not many, nighttime shadows. I was not ill with a fever. I did not have any fever hallucinations or, anything like that. So I saw a outline of a man, very clear, head with shoulders and arms and everything.
Yeah.
But the inside of the outline, the actual, physical part of where you would see the body, it looked like, the best way I could describe it was if you look into a puddle of water in the street, and sometimes like car oil is mixed in.
Exactly. Hey, hold on for a second, Logan. I want you to finish that. You'll be the first caller when we come back.